Aloha. It's been a little while, and I have been debating on what I wanted the first episode back after a little break to be. And I thought, you know what? I want to explain where I've been, what's been going on, share some stories, talk about all the crazy things that have been happening, and all the crazy things that are coming up on the horizon, and all of them good. So, I mean, there's good in everything, right? Count it all joy. Even the trials and tribulations, and there's definitely been a few, but nothing major. So I just wanted to put that out there first. I don't want you to worry going into this. I actually want you to sit back and relax or do your tasks and just listen to these crazy stories and hopefully bring you some entertainment and some understanding and some explanation about where on earth Elevating Motherhood has been and why there has been such a big break for the first time in the podcast's history. I'll start off by telling you, I've never really understood why podcasters do seasons. And I just didn't. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so fun. Why would you stop? Why would you take breaks? What are you doing during these breaks? Like, I want more of your content, you know? So I thought, I'm not going to do that to my listeners. I'm going to give it to them every single week. And there was a couple of times where it would be like twice a week, and I loved it, right? And then I got to a point in my personal life where my personal season started to demand a shift in my professional season. And I feel like I've been in that space for the last year and a half since we moved off of Maui. So, you know, I'm pretty sure most of you already know we moved from Maui to Idaho, gosh, 19 months ago, something like that, after 19 years on Maui, just shy of 20 years. And it has been such a big change. It's been good. It has been good. We have been embraced. And then there are other moments where people just they look at you and they're like, "Wait, just wait until winter comes." Like we're not going to make it or something. And we're like, "We actually like winter." So, I've been thinking about that a little bit too. And this will actually transition into why it is I've taken a break. It has nothing to do with the people. It has everything to do with me. Like in my spirit, I'm like, why am I so offended when it feels like, you know, unless you were born and raised somewhere, people almost are like, go home. It's like, well, where's home? Like, I can't go back to someplace I was born and raised. I was randomly born in Louisiana, but I wasn't raised there. I was raised in Ohio, but I wasn't born there. And it's just, so I can't go back to where I was born and raised. And so where am I? You know, where's home for me? And it's been a very deep season, a personal season of like creating home and figuring out what home looks like, even in the face of people being like, welcome, we're so glad you're here. It's so awesome to know you. Welcome, welcome. And also like, what are you doing here? This whole city is getting ruined because all the new people are moving in. And that's not the general vibe of Idaho. You know, I wouldn't say it's the general vibe of everywhere, but I have, after lots of thought, realized there's a lot of that back and forth. There's a lot of welcoming and generosity everywhere, probably. And there's also this unwelcoming attitude of like, you're not from around here. And I think that we all kind of wrestle with that inside of ourselves, and then also definitely wrestle with it externally as we run into new people in the place that we call home. So I share all of this because we moved since the last time I put out a podcast. It's been crazy. I'll get into that too. But we put an offer in on a different house, and that was crazy and dramatic. And the house went for like almost twice what it was listed for. We couldn't compete with that. And most of the people couldn't compete with that. So that was off the table. But man, that took a lot of time and concentration and focus. And now we're in this new house. I had met somebody in our new town where we are, and there was something that they said that made me really sad. I don't remember what it was, but I just remember leaving that conversation feeling the opposite of hospitality and thinking, why does it bother me so much when people say things that make it seem like they want to see us fail? You know, we're from Hawaii, you just wait for winter, you know, that sort of vibe. Like, what in my spirit is sad when they say comments like that? And I think that what it came down to for me was like moving from Maui to Idaho was such an act of obedience. I felt like God was calling us to move, and I fought it to a certain degree and was like, am I not a good steward of this property? Am I not a good steward of this community? I accept my lot in life to live in this amazing house and have this amazing life on Maui. And it was God saying, you need to start detaching yourself from what you thought your life was going to look like. And you need to start detaching yourself from this. And I thought, what? Why? Oh, and then, well, you know, we had another baby. And we ended up moving, to the suburbs of Idaho, and it was wonderful. It was really wonderful, but our move took such an enormous amount of strength and bravery, and also bowing down and moving out of an act of obedience. So for me, I was acting out of obedience, and when anyone meets me with a different energy of like, you shouldn't have done this, I'm like, whoa, actually, it's pretty God ordained. And yeah, we're supposed to be here. And there's so many confirmations of that, that I think sometimes when those far and few in between, if I'm being honest, there's so many more confirmation. God is in all the details. There's so many confirmations that we are supposed to be here, and we are supposed to be in the current house that we are in, and we're supposed to be in this town, and all of that. It still kind of bothered me and rubbed me the wrong way if someone presents in such a way like they want us to fail, or they don't want us to be here just because we're quote unquote not from around here. So I share all that with you because active obedience is kind of why I took a break too. I felt like God was telling me, don't schedule anything for June or July. Just don't. You're just going to have to trust me on this one. You're going to have to be really present for some stuff that's coming up. So just forget it. Don't. So I did. It was so clear that I was supposed to do this. And so I blocked off my entire calendar for June and July. I think I did sneak one interview in there that was like totally worth it. But again, that felt right. Like I was supposed to be talking with this person and I was supposed to be reading this book. But it was definitely like God was saying, nope, you're going to have to be really present. So just block them off. So I did. I blocked off all of June and July. And sure enough, that's when we put an offer in on the first house. It was an absolute dramatic disaster. And then shortly after that, we found the house that we're in, and we waited and we prayed about it. And it was like, there's no way this house is going to last on the market. It's so amazing. There's no way it's going to last. But it was like, no, you need to pump the brakes. The timing is not right. But it was like, it's not that we were supposed to let go of the house, but we weren't supposed to jump on it and act out of fear or scarcity mindset or anything like that. So we waited. And we offered the number that I felt like we were supposed to offer, which was less than asking price, which in a hot real estate market for a nice house is kind of unheard of. But our offer was accepted, and I'm so grateful for that. So fast forward, and now we live on 10 acres in the middle of the Idaho woods, very different from the suburbs of where we were. 10 acres is a lot. Let's just put it this way. We live in the woods so much so that when I was asking around about predator load in the area, I was like, so how many dogs do y'all have? And people are like, for 10 acres where you are, definitely 3 to 5. And I was like, oh, we only have the one giant one. And they're like, yeah, you might want to think about getting more. And I asked quite a few people this, and every single person said a minimum of 3 dogs. And so guess what, guys? We have 3 dogs now. So we have Odin, our Spanish Pyrenean Mastiff, or Pyrenean Mastiff. Ugh. It's a Mastin Del Pirineo. The English translation always escapes me. And now we have 2 other livestock guardian dogs that are Great White Pyrenees, Anatolian Shepherd mixes. And fun fact, in the middle of all of this is so random, but it's so interesting. Odin, our Mastin Del Pirineo, he is so old. Like that line is so old that the Great White Pyrenees are actually bred down from him, his line, by the French. And I just find that fascinating. I feel like I'm looking at like some sort of, I don't know, homeschool lesson in front of me. Every time I see these dogs together, it's like, y'all came from that? That's crazy, but I can also see it. Oh boy, I was trying to record early in the morning and now all my kids are waking up. You're gonna hear my son in the background. He just said, oh gosh, but it comes out, oh dosh. It's so funny. Oh my gosh. Okay, fully present in the moment, right? This is the theme. So I'm going to hit pause on this recording and come back. Here, come here. Come here. Oh. Do you want to say hi? You talk right there. I'm going to talk right here. What do you have on?
I have this.
You have this? Is that your dad's Cub Scout belt from when he was like 5?
I have this.
You have this?
No. What's that?
That's a microphone.
What's that?
That's my computer.
What's that?
That's yerba mate.
Mate?
Yeah. Yerba mate.
My brushy water.
What do you... You want sparkling water?
What's that?
Yeah. Want to go get your sister? What? You want to talk? You want to talk? How do you know what a microphone does? Yeah. How do you even know what a microphone is and to put your mouth up against it? Clever baby.
No. What's that?
Headphones. Headphones. It's all part of the headphones. Yeah. Y'all are so sweet to listen to all of that. Oh my gosh, I had to include it. He was so cute. He toddled up to me and was so curious about it and wanted to talk into the microphone and try to say things to you guys. Oh my gosh. So I had to throw it in there. Thanks for listening. Back to the show. Okay, I've got them set up and I'm back. All right, what were we talking about? Moving into this new house in the woods. Okay, acts of obedience, predator loads, breaks, all of this stuff. Okay, so one of the reasons that I had to be super present in June and July is like we closed on this house in July, but there was definitely an element of spiritual warfare involved in all of this. And I know that escalated real quickly, right, from puppies to spiritual warfare. And I debated on whether or not to tell you this story, but I talked to my friend Leslie and she was like, you know, I really think you should share this with people. Because I think that a lot of other people go through stuff like this and no one ever talks about it, right? And you just don't want to feel like the crazy person in the corner who's, you know, going through hard times and not talking about stuff. So I will say that with the second house, there was spiritual warfare present. And I'll sum it up with this story. So I had dropped off a bunch of stuff at the new house because we were trying to transition the kids slowly. Get them used to the new house. We were taking them away from their dear, dear, dear friends, our neighbors, and they were kind of sad about it, but they were also excited for the idea of living on a farm again. So we were trying to make it as gentle on them as possible, and I was dropping off stuff in the house, and I put the kids in the car, and I said, okay, I'm just going to walk through the house one more time. I'll be right back. I just want to make sure I shut all the windows and doors. So I come back into the house, and I realized I had not prayed over the house at all, and so I did. I was really kind of humble and meek about it and like, Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for all the abundance. Thank you for the generosity you've bestowed on us and our family, and we just hope to use it for your service. And Lord, the sale of this house is the result of a divorce, and I feel like when divorces happen, there is evil afoot, and if that's the case and there's any sort of negative energy or bad vibes or, I don't know, demonic anything, like, I just ask that you ask it to leave in the name of, and a smoke detector beeped out the name of Jesus. A smoke detector beeped out the name of Jesus. If you all are familiar with the Bible verse about how everything has to bow down to the name of Jesus, you'll understand the like moment about this. So I turned into an evangelical preacher from television. I'll tell you, I was not like, thank you so much. Maybe you can ask it to leave. No, I came flying with my words, my silver tongue. And I said, oh, hell no. You have no idea who moved into this house. I demand you leave in the name of Jesus. I command you to exit this property in the name of Jesus. And like, just like I was like, no, no more like asking nicely. Any sort of bad vibes, any sort of negative energy, any sort of evil is now commanded to leave in the name of Jesus. And I walked through this house and was like, this is a house that serves the Lord. Make no mistake about it. Every hair on my body was standing up. Every single hair when I got in the car and was like, okay, kids, all the doors are locked. Let's go. And drove off. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was shaking. It was crazy. And if you're not familiar with that verse, or you're not familiar with spiritual warfare, maybe you're a listener who doesn't really acknowledge the depth of spiritual warfare, just know that that wasn't just a smoke detector beeping that set me off. There was a lot of other buildup to that that was palpable. And I know that stuff needs to be cleared from this house and this land. And I also feel like we were called to do it. And so we are. So I have had people come through the house and pray over the house with me. And I still want to have the land blessed. And that's a thing, guys. It's still a thing. We had it done on Maui when we were attending the Catholic church there. And the Catholic priest and the lovely ladies club came through at our housewarming party there and blessed the house in a Catholic way. There are, it turns out, there are entire ministries and churches that dedicate themselves to blessing houses and blessing land. And it's never too late to do that. Just so you know, I was just grateful to know about it from the get-go so we could start clearing this stuff out. So it's not just clearing the land of like leaves and brush. It is clearing the land spiritually as well, because without a shadow of a doubt, there is always spiritual warfare happening around us. Okay, but that story about the smoke detector doesn't end there. Okay. The next day, we walked into the house and Chris was with us this time. He had just gotten off work and he met us there. And well, he walks in and he goes, something's burning. Something's burning. And he was like, he was, you know, on a mission, right? His nose to the ground, like, what is this smell? Where is it coming from? It smells like something burning. It almost smelled like a battery or something like that. And sure enough, you guys, he found a smoke detector that had a battery in it that was burning hot. And almost like it was melting. It was so crazy. It was so crazy. And I was like, oh, interesting. So this smoke detector didn't beep anymore after that. And yeah, the battery definitely was trying to catch fire or something. I don't know. But it was burning hot. I couldn't even touch it. It was crazy. And the story doesn't end there. I mean, it's nuts. Oh, so I was packing up stuff from our old house, getting ready to move it to our new house. And I found my old artwork, like the stuff that had been boxed up and brought over from Maui. And there just wasn't any room in the suburb house for this stuff. And I was super stoked to bring it to the new house. And I opened up the side of one and I saw some old barn wood, like an old barn wood frame. And I was like, oh, that's my photograph of Jesus. I jokingly call it my photograph of Jesus for my hometown listeners in Marietta, Ohio. I'll get a kick out of this. Years ago, I bought a art piece from Simple Pleasures there, and it is old barn wood that has been turned into a picture frame, this custom picture frame. And there's a photograph of a statue of Jesus that's in front of it, and there's a Bible verse at the bottom. Well, I had never memorized the Bible verse at the bottom. It never really struck me as anything of significance, really. I mean, not that. Let's just put it this way. It didn't feel applicable to any other moment in my life. So I had bought this thing in Ohio. I had hung it in my houses on Maui. And then it was in a box here in Idaho. And I didn't take it out because I knew exactly what it was. And I was like, oh yeah, I'll hang that up. That'll be good. And I get to the new house. I take it out and I look at it. It's the barn wood and the photograph of the statue of Jesus. And the Bible verse at the bottom says, it's Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You better believe I took that and hung it in the entryway of my house. And as I'm hammering the nail, I was like, I publicly declare in the name of Jesus. I just, wow. Wow, God is in all the details, and I am just, you better believe, I know that Bible verse now, and it has great significance to me. So that's like just a taste of the spiritual warfare stuff that has been going on. That was a pretty crazy story, but it all added up, and I needed to be fully present for it. It's just been a big transition for my kids. It's a big transition for me as a grown-up, but then I'm also responsible for transitioning four kids and a ton of animals and, right? So, because it is a big transition to get back into farm life after a year and a half in the suburbs. It was quite the transition from like farm chores to the suburbs, but we got used to it. And now we're back to, you know, fixing fence lines every spare moment until the sun goes down and we can't see anymore. And then the predators come out. Oh, farm chores on Maui are a lot less scary than nighttime farm chores here in Idaho. Yeah, but I know spiritual warfare is afoot, but I didn't ever quite feel it so very personally as I did in the last couple of months. So June and July, me blocking out my calendar then turned into blocking out August too, because I feel like that's when everything really ramped up. And then September, we were basically gone almost the entire month of September traveling. And I'll do a separate podcast episode about our RV trip, because man, that's a good story too. God's in a lot of details on that trip as well. And I'm so grateful for that. Then we hosted the Focus Retreat. My friends Amy, Becky, and Jennifer and I all had a Christian businesswomen's retreat at Shaker Village in Harrodsburg, Kentucky. So good. Oh, just so life-giving, even for me as a host. And all these women, oh my gosh, they were powerhouses. I mean, some of them knew it, some of them didn't quite know it. But man, we left there just full and like having this connection of fellowship. So that's another podcast episode too, but man, it was good. It was good to the point that we already have our dates for next year. So good. I see now that the new location of my desk isn't going to quite work out, but that's okay. There's a lot of learning that's going to happen in the next, I don't know, the rest of my life. Lifelong learning, right? Okay, so then we came back and now it's October, which is crazy. But finally, after almost 3 months after the purchase of the home was complete, I sat down on the Sunday after we got back from our RV trip and thought, oh, we're home. This feels like home. This feels good. This feels like where we're supposed to be. 3 months after the closing of the house. That is a long time. That's a long time to feel kind of up in the air. And I think it's really hard to show up and do thoughtful interviews or put my ideas together for you to help you. And I am also totally at peace with taking a break too, because in the world of business advice and all of that, everyone's like, no, you have to be consistent. You have to be this, you have to be that. And I'm over here going, oh, no, I'm not really going to niche down. I'm going to do my best to show up when I can, not to the detriment of my family or my personal life or my health or anything like that, because I can't authentically encourage moms to honor the seasons that they're in if I'm not honoring the season that I am in. So the wonderful thing is, I know if you are listening to this, you totally get it and you understand that I needed to take that break. And so I'm not expecting any hate mail. I mean, not that I know of, you know, that's just not the vibe of Elevating Motherhood listeners. You guys understand, and I appreciate that so much. I even know that you guys understand the kid voices in the background as I try to figure out the best placement for my desk and where to record a podcast. I might end up in a closet like all the other good podcasters. Here we are at the end of the episode. I appreciate you understanding that we have been so wrapped up in house stuff and fixing fence lines and just mandatory house projects, not even, you know, design ones, but just like getting the house safe and ready for winter and all of that. Because I heard in the news forecast, it's supposed to be 27 and we're supposed to have snow in 4 days. So we'll see. We'll see. We got some stuff to do and some stuff to figure out before the ground freezes. But as I was thinking about you all this morning and how it is I wanted to show up for you in this like first episode back, I was really overthinking it. You know, I'm human. I'm a creator. All creators, all authors, all podcasters go through this where you have just like doubt and imposter syndrome and all of these different things. So As I was standing there making myself breakfast and overthinking it, I had gotten Chris out the door with his, you know, breakfast and lunch and whatnot. And we'd already said goodbye. And he left. And then all of a sudden, as I'm standing there cooking my eggs, furrowing my brow, going, man, what am I going to do? Should I say this? Should I not say this? Chris walks in and says, just so you know, your computer is in the garage on top of the dresser that we're going to refinish. And there was a plate on top of it. And I saw it just now as I was loading my truck. And I thought, she is never going to find that. So I better go back in and tell you exactly where your computer is. I was like, that is awesome. That is awesome, because the kids were sleeping. And I thought, man, now is the time. Now is the moment to sit down and record, get back on the horse, and put a podcast episode out for you. And now imagine how derailed I would have been if I could not find my computer randomly in the garage on top of an old dresser. Mm-hmm. So then I explained, you know, I bet you wonder why my computer was there, of all places. It was a nice day yesterday. It was in the 70s and sunshiny and beautiful. And so we had lunch outside, which is why there was a plate. But I was trying to order a new washer and dryer while we were having lunch and being outside and just getting all the things done while sales are happening and yada, yada. So I'm trying to do it all, be everything to everyone, which doesn't work out really. And then I realized we were supposed to go pick up our raw milk. Well, you can't leave the plates and the computer out while you leave the property with, you know, a giant drooly dog and puppies around. Naughty, naughty, but wonderful. Just puppies being puppies. So I picked it up quickly with one hand, put the plate on top of it, set it down in the garage, loaded everybody up, and like ran out the door. And I truthfully never, ever, ever would have found it. I feel like if it weren't for Chris coming on in and telling me exactly where my computer was so I could record this for you. So thanks for your understanding. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the break. Oh, but man, I am so ready to be back in the saddle and serving. I have been working on health stuff with Evgenia of Nourished Motherhood. I've been working on parenting stuff, just trying to be more patient and showing up to our new homeschool year, you know, with that vibe of fresh, new energy and lots of patience, and just trying to hold on to that for as long as I can. And then marriage stuff too, right? New house, new rhythms, new roles, things like that. So just, it's been a lot of personal work with me finding peace with my role in our marriage too. And none of it's bad, right? I feel like when you hear people say things like, I'm working on my parenting, I'm working on my marriage, I'm working on my health, then it's a heavy, there's just a heaviness to it. Like, you're working on your health, what's wrong? Oh, you're working on your parenting, what's wrong? Oh, you're working on your marriage, what's wrong? This is just maintenance. It's just maintenance. So this break has actually awarded me an opportunity to just do maintenance on all the things, all the good stuff in life as we transition and as we come out of this busy, full, odd time and back into serving and homeschool and speaking and retreats and all the things. I'm sure on some level you can relate. There's stuff that we can be working on for maintenance in our own lives. And as a person who's coming out of a moment of pause, a season of pause to do just that, you know, 3 or 4 months flies by. It really does. But it was totally worth the investment. So if you have something that you're thinking about doing some maintenance on or getting ahead of, I highly recommend. I hope this has inspired you actually to just take a break and to zone into what God's calling for your life is. And if you feel like He's calling you to a season of pause, I say give in. Oh, it's one of the best things I have ever done. Okay, I'll be back soon with some pretty awesome author interviews. Nikki Philippi is going to be on the podcast. I'll tell you about our RV trip and the focus retreat, and then also our no entertainment rule that we have in our house. I mentioned it on Instagram the other day and people were interested. So I'm going to sit down and record a podcast episode for you about that. If you are not following me on Instagram, please do so. That is the best way to connect with me online outside of the podcast. I am at Lori Beth Aldridge over on Instagram. You're also always welcome to email me, LoriBeth@ElevatingMotherhood.com. I would love to connect with you and to serve you in an area of your motherhood that you feel like you need some more resources and confidence in. So if there is something that you're wrestling with and you want me to try to find a resource for you or speak some encouragement over your life, please send me a message either on Instagram or on email. I hope you all have a wonderful day. Aloha.